Thank you for being in the meeting tonight. We're going to read together at this stage in the meeting some verses from Matthew chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 11. The words of the Lord Jesus from verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, that ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's what we read from God's precious word. What we want to learn tonight, and we'll only be looking at some of the lessons that are in the scripture that we have read, is how that God deals with people. And the principles on which God deals with those who are brought under the sound of his word and to know his truth and to know his many blessings. Because God alone can bless mankind, it is very evident that man is incapable of securing his own blessing. We live in a world where that is solemnly learned, and all that man will put his hand to will eventually turn to failure. And the promise of man, well, it isn't worth so much. But when we come to the Word of God, it is important that you should understand God's dealings with you and how it is that God brings people to know salvation. For you could be sure tonight, and I would want you to be sure of this, that God has salvation for you, personally. I'm not making that statement in any general way at all. But I want to assure you, unknown though you are to me in any detail, God, who knows you perfectly, has a salvation that can be yours. And God is offering it to you tonight, as he does every time you listen to the gospel. And even in times when God would make you aware that he is very near, and you would be brought to think upon the matters of eternity. And beneath all the joys and all of life, as you would call them, God is seeking to attract you and to teach you and to instruct you that you might find the salvation of God that is in Christ Jesus. Because you be sure of it tonight. If you perish eventually, and you may perish, you will perish certainly, if you don't give heed to God and you don't seek salvation, that will be at your own hand. And you will have put yourself beyond God's salvation. And you will have put yourself in under God's judgment by your personal choice. And that in despite of all the entreaties and all the privileges that God has given to you. What we want to learn is this, that God's ways are strange to us. But it is important, and it is a mark of wisdom when a person is willing to hear God. Listen to how salvation is found according to the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the person who listens to the gospel hears what God is saying and is prepared to act on what God promises and what Christ has secured. That person is immediately saved. They are saved eternally. They can never perish. But what we want to notice first is this, that God gives greater privileges to some than others. And some of you associated with God's people that are here tonight, and some of you that in life have had the privilege of hearing the word of God, you have had privileges that others have never known. There's people on this earth tonight that have never heard the gospel once. There are many on earth tonight, and the first time they heard it, they believed it, and they found salvation. You have heard the gospel on many occasions, most of you, if not all. And still tonight you're without Christ and you're without hope. And you have no Savior. And there's nothing between you and the judgment of God, only the breath in your nostril. And God is giving you privilege. And we learn here. Here, for instance, we read of a city, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, as to Capernaum, thou art exalted to heaven. Now it was a city on earth. But their exaltation that he's speaking about was this, that for quite a while Christ had lived in that city. For quite a while in that city he had preached the gospel. For Christ was the first preacher of the gospel. In that city he had done his miracles. And they'd been exalted to heaven. There were others that never knew that privilege. Sodom, a city that had been removed in the judgment of God from heaven, that came down and consumed it, and all that were in it perished, and perished in their sin. A city exalted to heaven with privilege. A one that never had that same privilege, and they're taken away out in a moment, out into eternal judgment, and that's where they are tonight. The citizens of Sodom. I want you to understand that God is being kind to you. God in his grace and in his purpose that I can't explain to you has made a choice of you that you would be a soul that would hear the gospel. Place some of you in a home that when you come into this world, your mother and father had already known the Lord and had found salvation in Christ. And you listen to verses from the Word of God tonight, and you hear these verses in Matthew 11, and they're as familiar to you as anything else on earth, and you know the gospel. And God has given you privilege. There are the people in this city tonight, and they have never known what you know, and many will go out into eternity without Christ and never have known it. So I want you to appreciate just that God has given you, as he gave Capernaum, privilege above many others. So not all have the same opportunity of salvation. And we can't question God in that. This is something that rests with God. But I would want you to appreciate just that God has been gracious and kind to you. And as you listen to his gospel tonight, there are others who have lived and died in this world and never heard it. And they're in the judgment of God. But we also learn something very solemn with that. The greater the responsibility, the greater the judgment. For we read, and I stressed it to you in these scriptures, that there is a day of judgment. I know that you listened to it at night and you've heard it before. But it will be a solemn thing for you in the day of judgment to stand before your judge. And to stand before him knowing that you had every opportunity to have salvation. Knowing that many times you listened to the gospel and the invitation of Christ was sounded in your ears, but for whatever reason, and whatever distorted values you had, you never turned to Christ. Listen to what we read together. It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sodom in the day of judgment than it would be for Chorazin and Bethsaida. Because they didn't have the opportunities and the privilege that other cities had. In hearing the offer of salvation, in hearing the warning of God, in being told of the love of God and the death of Christ upon the cross, and in a day of judgment, the most guilty that will appear before God's throne will be those that heard the gospel and rejected it. And I can't pretend to you that I can really fully understand it. But for other souls that lived in these parts and never heard the gospel, and were born into darkness and lived in it and died in it, their judgment won't be as severe as yours. Because one of the great sins against God, possibly the greatest sin of all against God, is to hear the gospel, to hear its truth, and to be told of the death and the sufferings of Christ, that salvation may be provided for you, and you to pay no heed to it. And to never set yourself for the salvation of God, and at your own hand go out into the eternal night of judgment, and perish in your sin. Greater privilege, and greater judgment. What is it that God requires? And why is it that God would have people to hear the gospel? Well, he speaks here, and he speaks of those cities where most of his mighty works were done, and he speaks to them, and he upbraids them, and he speaks to them in a very, very serious way. Why? Because they repented not. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's the message of the gospel tonight. And as you listen to it and you hear it, and I trust that you accept it as being from God, that you will appreciate tonight that God has privileged you in his wisdom and in his sovereignty to hear the gospel and to enjoy precious privilege. And knowing that your responsibility is very great before God in this matter, God would have you to repent. You say, what is repentance? Repentance certainly isn't feeling sorry for your sins or saying sorry to God. If a man in the prison houses in this land tonight and they're very sorry that they're in prison, but they've never repented of their sin, that's why when they come out they'll be repeat offenders. You see, God is calling upon you to repent so. That is you hearing the gospel. And you hearing the way of salvation, the first thing that God expects of you, that you believe him. As to what your position is before him, that you in common with all these people that we read are a sinner. And I know that you will know all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but you're a sinner tonight, soul before God. That's how you were born into this world. That's how I was born into it. A soul that was estranged from God. And I hardly will ever look at a little child, but I wonder where it's going to be in eternity, because it has started out on a broad road that's taking it to destruction. And your past childhood tonight, some of you, and you're on the road that is taking you daily nearer to God's judgment. But on this Sunday afternoon again, God calls upon you to repent, to give heed to his voice, and that you, listening to God, would change your mind about sin and about your life and about the course that you are on. And coming and going and listening to the gospel and never giving heed to God, as if it didn't matter, as if God had never spoken to you, as if you didn't know these things. You live your life and you go on as if it wasn't real. But I tell you that it's real. And what God wants you to do is to come to understand that your sin is a very serious matter. And that your sin has separated you from your God. And that tonight your sin is so solemn that you're a stranger to God. By your own choice, you're far from him. And you're at enmity with God. And you're an offense to the God of heaven because you hear his truth and you never give heed to it. To hear what God is saying. Come to understand that God is true and that you're a sinner and that you need salvation. That knowing that, that you would turn to Christ and you would receive the salvation that he gives and that you would trust him and have eternal life. You say, is that all there is to it? That's what salvation is, sir. The Lord Jesus Christ said of another people, he said of them, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You tonight, you'll have your own Bible. You'll be in a measure familiar with Scripture. Hearing the Word of God is a common thing to you. You live in a home maybe where you're prayed for and others are praying for you. But I tell you this, except you repent, you too will perish, and you will lose your soul, and you will be lost, and that for all eternity. The Lord Jesus said, I thank thee, as he speaks to his Father in heaven, and he says, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and revealed them unto babes. You see, I learn here that there's people that God hides his truth from. And though they listen to it often, it never is real to them. The wise and prudent. That's just people who listen to God. And they say, I don't understand that. God wouldn't do anything to me. Those who are listening to the gospel say, well, it might be true, but I'm not going to be lost. And those who, because they don't understand it, because they won't listen to God, just go on. Those who name themselves to be so wise, that though they would say they believe it, and they do in that superficial sense, they say, I'll be all right. I'll be saved when I'm dying, but not just to me. I spoke to a man one day in Derry City. He was at garages where I was doing door-to-door work. I asked him about salvation. I said, do you know anything about it? Do you know you need it? He says, I do. He said, I've heard the word of God and I know it and I believe that I should be saved. I said, when do you want to be saved? Oh, well, he says, not for a while yet. I want to do some living first. Is that you, so? You see, all that means just really is this, that you've no value of God's salvation. You're one of earth's wiseacres. You're wiser than God. And God, tonight, in all the urgency of the gospel, and in all the provision that God has made, God would want you to give heed to his voice, to believe the gospel and to trust Christ and have eternal salvation. But he reveals it unto babes. There's a little boy in this meeting. The other day I just held out my arms to him and he can't walk yet. And he held out his to mine and he come to me. You see, that's how a child acts. You say, I'm no child. I tell you, silent soul, you're going to have to take a child's attitude and humble ground to God when he's dealing with you and speaking to you about salvation. I tell you how a person gets salvation. When they hear the word of God and they hear it preached, they really just accept that God is speaking to them personally. For it is through his word that God speaks to people. And God is speaking to you tonight. And God wants you to repent of your sin and to turn to Christ and believe on him with all your heart for salvation. For you see, that's who God offers you salvation through. And all you'll have to do to be in hell, you'll not have to become a notorious or a wicked sinner or anything like that. And all you'll have to do to secure a place in the deepest judgment of God for yourself is this. Just to listen to it. Say, I believe it all. Never believe it. And when God tells you about judgment, never accept that you will be there if you're not saved. Never accept that if Christ were to come tonight and his people wait for him, in that moment your doom would be sealed eternally and you would be lost. That's the terms of the gospel. You say, how can I really be saved? Well, Christ speaks to me. And we quote him from the word of God. And he has an invitation for you so personally. And don't you be giving any thought to who's beside you or who you're friendly with or any other soul in this world for that part in this great matter of salvation. Because it will be you, I tell you, that will determine where you're going to be in the eternity that lies beyond this world. An everlasting age that for you will bring no change. God is calling upon you tonight and Christ is speaking to you. You listen to his entreaty. With all the solemnity of your position and your privilege and the awful prospect of your judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I, not the preacher. You're not asked to believe the preacher. You're asked to believe Christ. You're asked to give heed to the invitation of Christ. You're asked to come to Christ knowing that his promise is sure. And as one who has turned away from sin and who are a guilty one before God, that you accept what Christ offers. He offers you rest. Rest from this awful responsibility that is yours. Rest from the awful prospect of the deepest judgment of God for you. And give you rest from the awful dread and the awful reality of perishing in your sin and knowing the judgment of God for all eternity. It is Christ that offers it to you so. The Christ that you have so often rejected. The Christ who you are so familiar with in hearing of the message of the gospel. and hearing of a sacrifice that was offered that sin could be put away. A Savior who loves you so much that he went out to Calvary bearing his cross. And lifted up upon it, he would die in the place of the guilty. He would suffer on account of those who deserve nothing, only God's judgment. And he himself would bear it upon the cross in order that salvation could be provided for you. The solemnity of your place as a sinner before God. The wonder of God's love in what Christ has done, that it might be preached to you and offered to you in the simplicity of faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I tell you this, salvation's a solemn matter. It's a real thing to be saved. But it's a wonderful thing that there's a Savior who can save you. Would you know, soul, that his word is true? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That means that if you come to Christ, there's not a reason that he will cast you out or turn you away. And would you understand it? There'll never be one soul in all the things that have perished that will ever be able to say, I trusted him, but he didn't save me. Come unto me. Not come unto the gospel hall. Thank God that the gospel still is preached here. In its plainness and in its power. He doesn't tell you to perform any great act. He's not asking you to renovate your life or anything like that. He's not asking you to improve yourself. You're not capable of that. Neither is anybody in this meeting. What Christ is calling upon you to do tonight is come to him. Come in all the simplicity of faith. Your sin he'll take away. Your pardon will be fully granted. Your soul will be saved. You will be bound for heaven. You'll never be in the judgment, but you will be in the glory, and that for all eternity. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I want you to hear. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Meek and lowly in heart. That's the Savior tonight that invites you. That's the one who died so that you may be saved. On heaven's throne just now when we preach and you listen. On his body he bears the marks of Calvary's suffering. And the cruel treatment of men that brought him out and where he died in fulfillment of God's purpose and provided an eternal salvation. I am meek and lowly in heart. Will you come to him tonight and have salvation? Will you need him? You refuse him, soul, and one day he will be your judge. You will stand before him and you will look upon him. And it is he who will pronounce your condemnation and you will be cast into eternal judgment. Will you trust him tonight? Or will you face him as your judge? In spite of all your privilege, your opportunity tonight to trust him, I trust that you will receive Christ and leave the meeting content with it. He's my Savior. He died to save me.